Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We'll have Teron Davenport coming up at 8 o'clock. We've got a PK rant, a primary complaint later this hour at 7:45. So looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. It is always about great service. So, PK, when this game is mercifully over tonight, we're getting to the real thing, roster cut down day right around the corner, and then it's time to start prepping for the Denver Broncos and week one of the NFL regular season. So I'm curious from your vantage point, as Cam Ward is about to make his first start in the NFL here in a couple of weeks. You've watched him all throughout camp. Brian Callahan has talked about in several different places how they have adopted some concepts that he's familiar with in Miami, and that the offense that he ran in Miami is conducive to the offense they're trying to run here, and all those things that help with Cam Ward's comfort level. So my question to you is, given the fact that he's a rookie quarterback, the fact that Callahan has talked about trying to make him as comfortable as possible in the offense, particularly early, and the fact that they're taking on some pretty good defenses in the first couple of weeks in Denver and then here against the LA Rams, how do you think Brian Callahan is going to roll this out with Cam Ward? What do you think the approach is going to be with Ward early in the season to bring him along in this offense?
Completions. I don't know that it has to be simple. I'm curious to ask TD about, how complex he thinks things will be.
Yep.
For starters, and, ultimately with Cam this season. But I think really they just want to get him in a rhythm and be more efficient. So Nick Suss of the Tennessean very cleverly stacks transcriptions. He does a lot of transcribing on his own as opposed to taking the Titans Callahan transcripts. They provide those. But he has a system where he, I think, just stacks all of those transcriptions in one file, which is brilliant because he can then search for anything.
Yep.
And it's a database, really. And so at one point he was writing something about efficiency, and he searched for efficient or efficiency. And he was telling the room, I've gone back, and like he said, January X, April X, May X, June X. Through Callahan's time here, these big quotes about his goals for efficiency in the passing game.
Yep.
From the beginning, just benchmark theme throughout, pass game efficiency. And how many, that means eliminating these sins that they talked about, self-inflicted, whatever, that makes them inefficient.
Yep.
These holding calls, these false starts, these offensive penalties that dig them into a hole. inability to get into the third and manageable where you're then predictable. Hitting the chains, hitting some big plays that get you flip the field and are explosive. Eliminating turnovers, particularly turnovers in bad parts of the field, that put that defense you're talking about that we don't have a lot of faith in, well, at least let them defend a longer field, right, instead of giving the other team the ball at the 20. So Titans deal with sudden change and red zone defense at the same time. Yeah. Let's put our bad defense in a terrible situation as they come on the field. So I think thematically that's what they're looking for. That deals with the slow starts too. And the answer on the slow starts, I think we talked about this last week, were really some silly answers.
Yeah.
From Callahan and Ward. Well, we don't really start slow as much as, there just aren't plays made early. And if we make the plays early, then we'll be starting well. some really circular, silly logic to not say we start slow.
Yeah.
That concedes that they start slow. And this team has started slow, you know, dating back to Vrabel. This is not a Callahan thing. This is a Titans DNA thing for a while now. So I would look for that. And look, I'm a big believer. I mean, this dates way back to the beginning of the Titans with McNair. McNair had a tendency to start slow, and they had him force feed who? Wycheck.
Yep.
They had a great connection. You could get some easy completions there, kind of get the blood flowing and get going. Who's that going to be for Cam? It seems like Ridley, which is a different thing than like short underneath stuff to Wycheck. But, you know, Ridley can catch all kinds of passes. Get him going with somebody early if you need that. Not because Cam's a slow starter necessarily, but to get this efficiency thing going. Easy completions early sets the efficiency tone, yep. Right? But while you're doing that, you can't have your tackle false start. And you can't have your guard hold. Or you can't have your running back miss a blitz pickup and have a sack that gets you in second and 17.
Yep. Well, I thought it was interesting hearing Ward talk the other day because he was asked about the offense and like how much he's got the offense down. He's like, I mean, I got the offense down. Like, it's all about just repping what we're going to be doing on a game plan at this point. So like it feels like he's got a good baseline of comfortability with the offense. And, you know, we'll see how they game plan week to week coming up starting against Denver. But one of the things I'm wondering about is exactly what you just talked about. Like, we know that there's a comfort level there with Ridley, and that's important. We saw last year when you don't have that, it's a big problem in this offense. Who is that next guy? Like, who is the next guy that is going to catch the ball on a consistent basis in this offense? Because as you brought up with us last week, like, it's pretty clear if you're a defense right now, yeah, it's great that the Titans and Ward and Ridley have developed a connection there. But, like, if I'm a defense right now, I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, we're gonna shade to Ridley and we're going to try to do what we can to limit how effective he's going to be in the game. And, yeah, some of that's on Brian Callahan and the coaching staff to combat some of that. But can guys like Lockett, Io Manor, Jefferson, like, can they win – one-on-one matchups often enough for Ward to have other outlets to go with the football?
I think this is one of the big questions. Who's the next guy? But I think the answer may be a game-to-game thing,
yeah,
a matchup thing, right? I mean, I think we haven't really talked about Lockett a lot. You know, do they finally have a guy in the slot who can – get to 4 yards reliably on third and three, facing the receiver, facing the quarterback, and catching the ball reliably, right?
Yeah.
We went through the Kyle Phillips era, the Humphreys era, the Boyd era, and we didn't see that consistently happening anywhere.
Yep.
And the slot is where magic is happening all over the league, right? Big gains, sure. Crafty stuff, designs that make things happen because there's space there, there are picks to be set. There's all kind of clever stuff going on at a slot. But there's also simple stuff where you find a soft spot in a zone, and you sit down, yep, and get an easy completion. So maybe some of it's Lockett and or DK out of the slot. Maybe some of it's Helm. Yeah, I'm thinking, though, it's more likely that it's going to be a game-by-game thing who the second guy is than there's going to be, like, an emergence of a second guy.
Yep.
If there's an emergence of a second guy, I would think it's going to be A, Io Manor, or B, Helm. With an outside shot, I hate to say this. You guess what name I'm going for here.
Jefferson?
Pollard.
Oh, okay.
No, not Pollard.
Sorry. Spears.
Spears.
Yeah.
Spears. But, I mean, Spears already starting hurt. He's been dinged.
I'm really worried about
Where's Lockett
that
in this situation?
I just
in this whole equation? What are we expecting from him?
I mean, he's 32.
Was I not talking Lockett out of the slot there?
You were, yeah. Like
that's I think Lockett is a step up from Boyd. I mean, he's old. We got to see the aging factor. But he's a pro. He knows what to do. He's going to be reliable. He's not running away from anybody or anything. But this is not a guy who needs to get past people. He needs to get underneath people.
Yeah.
And I would expect that he's going to have some success doing that unless he's, you know, really hit a wall. What you want from his craftiness? Can he be crafty? I tend to give him the benefit of the doubt until I see him not do it. A lot of people I need to see prove it to me, Ian. I need to see Van Jefferson prove that he can rebound from what he's done.
Catch the ball. Yep.
I need to see Tyler Lockett show that he can no longer do anything. I understand he's fading. I'm not expecting big, big things. But I'd be surprised if he's not making some kind of notable contribution.
I mean,
I'm not talking significant games, but I expect him to make three catches that are not insignificant in a game.
He had 49 catches for 600 yards last year.
How much of a security blanket could he be? Could that be a role for him? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
A security blanket, yes. Does that make him the second guy if Ridley's taken away? No, you need somebody that's offering more.
Well, my concern is exactly what you said.
He's a bit player.
Don't have a second guy.
Yeah.
You're right?
That's the big concern.
And that's, you know, if they don't have a second guy, how does that affect their first guy?
And look,
in Ridley?
You're hitting on something thematically here, right? Ridley really should be the second guy.
I totally agree.
Right? Yep. So they don't have the first guy. Oladejo should absolutely be the second guy, and they don't have the first guy. All right? There are probably a couple other spots we're not thinking of. But where they are draft-wise, we're talking about the lack of back-end depth, but we should also be talking about the front side. In the second round, they drafted their second edge guy. Next year, they got to get the guy who's in front of him.
I totally agree.
Ridley is looking great, but still, with the quality of receivers that are coming out, you drafted 2 fourth-round guys who you hope can be contributors for you. But what you need to do now is stack somebody in front of them. So your first and second-round picks next year, I mean, I think edge, first-round pick, automatic if there's somebody good for you there. And second-round pick, I'd be hard-pressed not to take a receiver. And then those two rooms reshape where you got a new guy on top, and all of those guys then fill into where they're supposed to be instead of one notch above where they're supposed to be.
And the other part of that is Ridley's going to be 31 in December, right? Yeah. Like, you know, we're getting to the point now where it's like, how much longer is he going to play at this level? Look, I'm really encouraged by him to this point.
He's one of the most encouraging stories of this whole thing.
Yeah, like I'm really encouraged by
him. He is really motivated. He's done and said all the right things, and he's got a good energy vibe. I don't think we talk enough about that. Like, there's not enough of a vibe on this team, but he brings one for sure. He's upbeat, saying all the right things, brings energy. He jaws, but in the right, like, good-natured, good-spirited way. He's never angry.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he got angry in the middle of all of that stuff, but appropriately angry because he didn't like seeing his quarterback hit.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A couple other points on Ward I want to get to with PK coming up next. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Nashville's best deal of the week is Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ed in New Jersey.
Real quick, Ed from New Jersey probably appreciated that music there. So Springsteen just released 7 albums from his vault a little while ago. And today, or yesterday, out of nowhere, I think it's the anniversary of Born to Run, released that song, Lonely Night in the Park, which was a Born to Run outtake. This guy has released more music from his back catalog than most people release in their lives.
You just been listening to it nonstop?
Nobody knew it was coming out. I was on Spotify on my way in, listening to some stuff, and all of a sudden there was a new Springsteen song there. And I was like, Just where does this come from? Then I looked it up, and there was like a story that said, song out of nowhere released by Springsteen. Ed, did you know about that?
I did. And I kind of thought about the times that I saw him playing, you know, impromptu. I saw him twice at the Stone Pony that would just, you know, pop up and play these songs and cover songs. And it's like, this guy could sing a phone. I mean, he's not the greatest singer, but it's like, he's just, God, he's just a great performer.
The prolific stuff is ridiculous. I mean, the amount of stuff he has. How you doing? Yeah. What's up?
Good. So, PK, you hit on a point a while back that it seemed like when things go awry for Ward, throws a pick, it's the immediate reversion to the dink and dunk.
Yes.
And I have concerns with that because in hearing Ward even speak, if he throws a 40-yard, you know, bomb and it's a pick, and if he sees in the next series that guy's got a chance at it, he's going to throw it again. So I don't know if that's conducive to his style, and is that kind of putting handcuffs on the kid? And I just worry that, is that approach more self-serving for Callahan, or is it really beneficial for Ward? So I wanted to get your take on it.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
It's a good question. I don't know that it's strictly a Ward thing. I think it's a everybody thing. Like, all right, let's kind of wind it back and restart and rebuild our efficiency, right, to get back to the theme that we were talking about early. We'll have to see if they do that in a game. But you're absolutely right. I mean, if they've got a play on the next play when they get the ball back, they can't hesitate to take it. My question is, are they going to call it?
Yeah. That's a big question. And you know, kind of building off that, I think you all have to recognize here too, and it's going to be the case again here tonight, there's not a whole lot of game planning that's going on from a defensive or offensive perspective in the preseason. So, you know, I think back to earlier in camp when Ward was having – a tough time throwing the ball over the middle of the field and he was getting picked. Is that going to creep up early in the season? Like when you see Denver and they're throwing some stuff at you that he's just not seen before, is that going to be a problem early in the year? You've talked about the footwork part of it and how that's, you know, I think, you know, Blake Bedingfield on your site used the term inconsistent play to play. Like is that going to be a big problem early in the year?
This is my concern. You mentioned earlier that he said, I've got the offense down.
Yeah.
Well, now comes the Mike Tyson part. What happens when you get punched in the face?
Right.
I'm not talking about Jeff Simmons putting hands in your face. I'm talking about when the defense now presents something. You've got it. I get that. You know the playbook. But now put that against a team that is scheming against you and your perceived weaknesses and what they know about you and what they know about things that have given quarterbacks similar to you problems.
Yep.
And what they know about what has given rookie quarterbacks problems. Now, how do you know the playbook? Now, how does what you know about the playbook go into effect? That's the big next question, right?
Yep.
And we don't know anything about that. So at noon Central, it's 3 Central, right?
Yes, 3
Central on September 7th, a whole new world opens up. And what is the panic level in those moments when he doesn't see stuff? He's a calm, poised, cool, collected guy. But he had some panicky moments at Miami when things went awry.
Yep.
And when things go awry at this level, it's a much different deal. And he got away with some stuff, some wild scrambling and stuff like that. That's not going to fly here. So you can be a massive Cam Ward fan and have all the confidence in the world. But the fact is, we don't know what's going to happen in those situations. That is the massive curiosity.
Yep.
We're a couple weeks away from seeing it. Maybe it goes great. And everybody's optimism is dialed high. You know, against that defense, that coordinator, in that setting, where are the odds? You have to be realistic and know. Most rookie quarterbacks put in that setting come out with lumps.
Yep. Here's the other thing, too, that, and this goes back to the offensive line, and I think is also kind of a direct correlation to Callahan. I mean, common sense would tell me there had to come a point pretty early last year where Callahan looked around and said, well, first off, I don't know that I've got the quarterback to do it, and the offensive line can't hold up and block. So right there, there's a certain portion of your game planning and your playbook that you just throw out the window, because you know that if you try to drop back any length of time with that offensive line, your quarterback's going to get killed out there. Number one, does the offensive line actually hold up, and are they good in pass protection? And if they do, what does that mean for the versatility of the playbook and how much Brian Callahan is going to try to throw Cam Ward's way? Because, again, last year, like, it was pretty clear early that if you tried some deeper down the field stuff, your quarterback is going to get murdered in the pocket.
Yeah, and again, I know this gets tiresome. Titans have to stay close, right? They fall behind. They're not built for it.
Yeah.
Offensively, for sure, because you're then going to have to give up on the running game, which gives up on the play action, which then puts you in the downfield passing game situation, which no matter how much better your offensive line is, means that they're coming at you harder and more often, and which forces Cam to straight drop back more often. And that's not advantageous for most offenses. You know, it's fine if you're Mahomes or Burrow or Allen and you have to do that. But, you know, you don't want to do it with a rookie quarterback. And that's a built-in danger here.
Yep.
This team's not that good. It's going to be a struggle to hang close. But if they win games, it's probably going to be out of hanging close and having a good drive at the end and a good defensive series at the end. You got to get to the end.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, a story and a talking point that, frankly, I think I'm tired of hearing about until information changes on it. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning.
I have been meaning to say to Mr. Safar that I misjudged him when he first got this job. Now, I do think he was very soft on Stilley, so I still hold that against him. But Ian, I tend to call Ian's Ian.
Yes.
Because we had this running joke at my old show. It was some guy named Ian, or there was some skit where the guy was called. His name was Ian. It might have been a Friends thing, whatever. So I may call you Ian. But I find Ian to be an absolutely delightful and smart guy. I think you're really good on the air. And when we make eye contact, when stuff's going on, like when something's funny, or like you'll be at your keyboard and
working,
I'll say something and you'll jerk your head around.
Like, what did he just say?
I mean, it adds a lot of it adds a lot to the show. And producers who add a lot to the show are a big deal. And I've just been meaning to give you some on-air love and credit.
I appreciate that.
I've enjoyed getting to know you.
What a day!
And I think you're quite good at this.
Well,
and
thanks.
I undervalued you early, and I wanted to tell you that was my shortcoming, and I hope you've felt the difference from me, and now I'm announcing it to the world.
Okay, wow. Well, very cool.
When shall we have our wedding?
Anytime, even though I believe we're both already married, but we can figure that part out later.
We'll
logistics.
It's technical.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, well, I appreciate that. Sometimes back here, we are working on a few different things, and I'll be honest, it's hard to always listen to everything 100% clear all the time. So you peek in here and there, you hear things here and there, work on something, hear something there. So there's a lot of moving parts, but I appreciate that.
I mean, you should have heard Ian the other day. He was fighting through basically a hurricane back there. There's a box fan right next to him because there's a billion degrees in here. Just talking right through it.
Equipment issues back here, so yeah.
But this is also the part where you now compliment me.
Well, I think it's been great getting to know you, Paul. I was always working on the afternoon show. You always had – it was always weird. I was always like, okay, Paul has this thought about me on the show, but he also says he doesn't listen to the show.
Snippets.
So, okay. Well, so there was probably a little bit of a miscommunication going on there. So
this isn't the complimenting.
I understand.
I just really paid you some huge respect.
I appreciate that.
Tell me what a talent I am.
Full circle. But yeah,
his vocabulary is outstanding.
It is Ivy League, as we would have said before. And yeah, it's been great getting to know you. You coming in? You come in early. You come in punctually.
He does.
You come right in, right to work.
The guy's complimenting my time. Said I'm on time.
Look, I'll be honest with you.
This compliment is not matching my compliment.
I don't know.
I don't think the vibe is matching.
Well, I mean, who doesn't love your insight on the Titans?
There we go. Here we go.
A little bit better.
I thought that was just
Would you like to make a pitch for people to subscribe to PaulKuharski.com?
Oh,
is that something you'd like to do right now?
He is Paul Kuharski of PaulKuharski.com on the Paul Kuharski podcast. Yeah. You say it three times and it brings
there you
good
go.
Luck.
There
that
we go.
Shows that
How are we feeling about that?
That's good. He listens to the podcast.
And I would like to hear you pronounce that cornerback from Dallas one more time, though.
Oh, God. Oh, I need to see it. Hold on. Number 31. I know his number because he's so bad. I watch him all the time. God, I can't see it. Give me a second.
That's been fun the last couple of weeks on the Paul Kuharski podcast.
Owurarie.
Nailed it.
Okay.
Booyah. He nailed it.
Amani Owurarie.
Look at
There's him. No reason for anybody to learn his name. He is among the first cuts. He is horrible. I don't know if
Horrific.
I told this story. I don't know if I told this story on the air. In Tampa, you know, I'm always trying to pay attention to special teams in the preseason. And so on a punt, the Titans punting, I'm watching the Gunners. And so Bryce Oliver was kind of on the near side. I'm in the corner, right, where the press box is in the corner. Bryce Oliver is on the near side, and I'm watching him. And, like, peripherally, I'm looking for the other Gunner. And nothing is happening on that side of the field. There's empty space on that side of the field. And so, legitimately, the play is almost over, and I look way back towards the line of scrimmage, and Owurarie is double teamed, and he's still like way back. He has no chance to be of any impact on this play. If this returner had gotten outside right, these two guys who doubled him would have gotten gold stars from the Bucs special teams coach. He tried to split this double team, which I'm told is not the way you take on a double team. You got to get inside it or outside it. But, I mean, it was the most miserable effort. I can't imagine why they would have tried him another snap at Gunner after this.
Are you saying
I'm very quick to be done with people.
He's the Tim Boyle
of Gunners. But the thing is, this guy, I mean, I don't want to wax poetic or anything, but if you're drawing up a corner, he's 6'2", 205. I mean, his arms are long. You look at him lined up, if you're standing there on the sideline, you'd go, that's what I want my corners to look like.
Yeah.
Titans don't have guys that look like that. He's beautiful. Like, that is what a – and he had 6 interceptions in 1 year.
I can't wait to watch him play tonight. He's going to light it up tonight.
Yeah, watch.
It's going to be awesome.
Well, Ian, it was a lovely exchange with you. You could have done
it really was.
You could have done a little better on your end.
Yeah, sorry. That kind of came out of nowhere, so it sprung out
on
me.
Well, I wanted to surprise you.
Well, I appreciate that.
I'm glad I got to say what I got to say.
I am too.
Me too.
Now turn off your microphone.
A tender moment.
I'll go back.
Now turn off your microphones and leave this to the talent.
He's back.
Leave this to the talent.
He's back. There is a phrase that keeps getting thrown out there that was brought up again the other day on the Pat McAfee show. So Jeff Passan, Major League Baseball insider for ESPN, was on the McAfee show, and they were talking about MLB expansion. And every time they talk about MLB expansion, Nashville comes up. And I think the phrase that Passan used was Nashville is, quote, almost a shoe-in when Major League Baseball expansion comes up,
and
which
I
people believe
Bob
is going to be
Nightingale,
in 2028.
I think Bob Nightingale of USA Today has long said that Nashville is the same.
Yeah.
You know, foregone conclusion.
So who's paying for it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the presumption is they have interested people who want to buy expansion teams, and they will buy the expansion teams and they will put it in Nashville. It's not necessarily a Nashvillian who will be doing that. Now, you would hope it's somebody that will do it and come here and not be an absentee owner. But at this stage, if you're a fan of this and you want it to happen, I don't care where the owner is.
I don't either.
Shell out the $2 billion expansion fee. Shell out the additional money it costs to build the stadium without much public help. And let's go.
I'm totally with you there. I just need to know who that person is. Like, right. You know, like who's that going to be? Like, because I don't know how you could be almost a shoo-in when nobody knows who that person is and nobody knows where the stadium's going. Like, how is that almost a shoo-in at that point?
Yeah. And this junkyard that has been this premier property, kind of not on the other side of the bridge, not on the other side of the river, on the other side of the bridge, on the same side of the river, would be the absolutely ideal spot for a baseball park. It could in some way, shape, or form share some of the minimal parking that there is for the new Nissan Stadium, though there's not going to be a lot, and share the poor but existing ingress and egress routes. People could walk across the bridge from downtown, all of that. I think it would be fantastic if it went that way. I don't think the city should or will or could be part of financing it after it's done Nissan Stadium. Titans got their thing done first. I think you need somebody who's filthy rich to come and build the stadium and then reap all the benefits of the stadium.
Yeah.
Get tax breaks or whatever works from the city's perspective. I could see an alternative where you find a place. You know, some people talk Rutherford. I think it needs to be more central, right? I'm anti-Rutherford because I'm Williamson. And a lot of people in Williamson wouldn't want it there because of the traffic it would bring. I would deal with traffic 81 times a year, work around it, and be in it to go see games. But it seems to me Williamson is more central.
Yeah.
Like if you're on 65, you know, and 840 lets people come from either way, there's land to be found there, and you could create a battery type thing. But I still, and I wonder if people agree with me, chime in on the chats or call us or text us. I still want the downtown feel.
I
haven't been to the Battery. I hear the Battery's great. I think Atlanta's a weird kind of city. But I, you know, Kauffman Stadium's nice in Kansas City, but I don't want the suburban parking lot stadium. I want the downtown stadium, not just in Nashville, anywhere.
Yeah.
We were just talking like the weekend the Titans play in Denver. The Rockies are home that night. They're a terrible, terrible team.
Got a chance to see some
They're
special
playing the
baseball.
Padres. But you go see a new stadium and eat a dog and
apparently get
ice
in very
cream,
cheap.
Get in for $16, probably less. And, you know, I just think a downtown ballpark is part of the DNA of a city's fabric, and Nashville's shown no hesitancy to grow or overgrow. Bring it on, put it at that junkyard. But they've got a plan for that junkyard now that's not that. So somebody better act fast if they want to get that.
I mean, you and I ended up in Pittsburgh last year at that park, and that's like the prime example of just awesome. I mean, the team is total trash, but that park, that stadium is awesome.
Fantastic. One of the top three, easy. I mean, you put Wrigley and Fenway in a class of their own because of the history stuff. But you look at new ballparks, and I've been to a lot of them. I mean, Camden Yards is fantastic. I think San Diego's fantastic. I put Pittsburgh ahead of all of them. You walk in there, everybody's, you know, it's got a neighborhood around it. It's natural. It's not artificial. You know, I'm sure the Battery's great, but there's nothing natural about it.
615-737-1025, our phone number. PK's got a rant coming up next. We got TD at 8 o'clock, getting into all things Titans with him. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
You gentlemen seen your midterm grades yet?
Professor PK.
I hope he's not too whacked out on gummies, but yeah.
I mean, it's a funny disease.
Mr. Blutarsky. 0.0.
Where is he in terms of knowing everything, Mike?
Everything? I mean, I don't think everybody
besides you, knows everything.
It's all fun and jokes to PK.
It is that time of the day. PK's primary complaint here on the program. Good pulls there by Ian.
I love that sound clip where Vrabel says that I know everything. Yes. God, that's
I'm sure you do.
I need that in some way, shape, or form to put on my site.
I don't think anybody knows everything, except for you, of course.
Oh, God, that's
good. By the way, Vrabel continuing to have a lot of fun with the media up there in New England.
Well, he has huge beef that somebody broke that Polk is out for the season, and he wants to find the rats that let that out. I mean, if somebody let out some strategy, I understand, but the guy is, in fact, out for the season. Like, how is it hurting the organization that has been revealed?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, people know that this guy who's not going to play is not going to play. We got to find them all. This is not my primary complaint. My primary complaint is about Pro Football Talk, and I have a lot of issues with Pro Football Talk. And I admit I fear Pro Football Talk. Otherwise, I would have tweeted this a billion times. But it is not a bad thing for me when Pro Football Talk picks up my stuff and puts a link there. Getting links in the SEO business is a good thing. Backlinks,
yes,
they're called. I need backlinks, and they give me backlinks when I have good stuff. Mike Florio is a pompous ass who he complains about the way reporters do their business while pretending that he's not a reporter himself. He asks why certain people don't ask certain questions when he doesn't ask those questions himself. He talks about the interplay between insiders and agents when he has interplay akin to that himself. But these are not my complaints. These are prefaces to my complaint. Mike Florio, who's a very busy man, the guy works his ass off, I will give him that, but somehow has room in his life for a side gig, which is writing fiction. The guy writes fiction, and I think this is his third book now, Big Shield. Big Shield, get it?
Oh,
it's
I get
not,
it.
It's not about the NFL, he keeps emphasizing, and this is a story apparently about a player involved in some betting scandal, but he keeps saying, not the NFL, not the NFL. I'm sure the NFL is getting the point. It's not technically about the NFL. You know what else wasn't about the NFL? It was playmakers, and the NFL didn't seem to care that it wasn't about the NFL. But I digress. I promise you this is going to be good. Every fifth post at PFT now is about this damn book. Headline currently, August 21st at 8:27 p.m. last night. Big Shield is doing big numbers. Big Shield is doing better than I thought it was, Mike Florio reports about his own book. The ebook is currently the number one bestseller in Amazon's football category. Oh, the football category. I mean,
a lot of books.
How many books? How many books are in the football category? In this micro niche where I insist on writing books that nobody gives a damn about, I'm number one. And the numbers keep going and going. Thank you for that. It's been a very pleasant surprise. Do we think he's surprised?
I don't think so.
That he's number one in a football category where Seth Wickersham's book, American Gods or whatever it is, American Kings
yeah,
isn't out yet.
Yeah.
And that book's going to sell, like, for real. Also, it's going to be published in print, not an ebook. I know somebody that knows Mike Florio, and when he wrote his first book, he said, hey, can I send you a copy of the book? I'm looking to promote the book. And this guy, you know, knew Florio pretty well, so sure, I'll do you solid. Send me a copy of the book. He got an email. Right, when somebody tells you, Ian, you chime in on this. I tell you I'm going to send you a book. You're checking your mailbox, right? Your physical mailbox, not your email box.
Actually, this happened when Warren Sharp, your boy who does the analytics, first was starting to jump on. He has his book that he likes to put out. And he was like, hey, if you're a member of the media or something, you know, reach out, send me a DM, let me know, and I'll send you one. So I sent him a DM, and he sent a couple of copies here to the station.
There we go.
Two books.
Warren Sharp knows how to do
it. So he did it.
Physical books.
Physical. Yeah.
Even and him, you might have expected it to be digital.
Yeah. Right? Kinda. Yeah. Hey, this was years ago.
This is hysterical to me. It costs only 99 cents. So, I mean, this guy is selling fiction in an ebook for 99 cents. Yet, I think he's kind of ruining his business. I'm dying to tweet because I know, and I've done this a couple times, like in shooting down Jordan Schultz or in shooting down what's the little fellow from Washington's name who gets all the Titans stuff wrong?
Lockenfora.
I mean, I practically got an ovation at the combine from my fellow reporters for shooting down Lockenfora. Most people can't because they're not independent, right? They've got bosses who won't allow them to do this.
Yeah.
If I tweeted, what would it take for us to shut down Mike Florio on the fiction market? I would get DMs from across the country from my colleagues saying thank you, thank you, thank you. To those who have said, sarcastically or not, that they'll wait for the movie, Florio writes, here's a little nugget. We're in very early discussions about making it into a series.
Oh, God.
Tubi. On Tubi with Cam Ward.
Getting there requires about 1,000 hurdles to be cleared, but we're at least starting down the path. If it ever happens, it won't be soon. Why not just buy it and read it now and let me know what you think? Here's why I won't. I don't give a sh-
Nice catch. Good stuff. I am stunned. I mean, it's on the main page of Pro Football Talk right now. I'm looking right at it.
I think there's an update every 24 hours in some way, shape, or form.
This is unbelievable.
I'm on Amazon.com under football books. I do not see it.
Well, you don't see it because, I don't know if there's a physical book or not. He has offered to sign them. He'll inscribe anything you want in there. I might order one and ask for a ridiculous inscription to see if he'll do it.
Are we sure that he's telling the truth about
hard copies?
About being number one football book?
Look that up if you can.
I will do my best.
I don't know if you could find those sub niches.
You have to be an
inside member to see that data. That level micro
for
data.
Only 99 cents. I mean, first off, he's as of right now, he's number two on Big Shield. Big Shield's number two.
That won't be today's report. There'll be something sunny.
The surprise play, a college sports romance by Katie Archer. Number one.
Now, what a big day for her. Now, at her website, I give her permission to write about that. I want to just send one message to our listeners here. Do not let this conversation turn into you spending 99 cents.
Don't do it.
This does say 99 cents Kindle edition.
Yes.
Wow. It says two formats available.
I don't have a Kindle. So what if I read on my iPad? What am I to do?
It's a good question. Don't know. Maybe out of luck.
Poor me.
Oh, paperback, $14.99.
Oh, there's a paperback version. Yeah. Okay.
I am a digital reader now. I've become a snob against paper. But for $14 less, it seems like quite the value for that's this guy's prose.
I just hope Florio enjoyed his time at number one, because now Katie Archer has taken the throne.
And what's the title again?
The Surprise Play, a College Sports Romance.
That's hysterical. Oh, God, I want to send him that.
You think you're going to get banned now from Pro Football Talk?
No, they're not here.
No more links?
They're not here.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, Teron Davenport, will be with us coming up next. We'll look ahead to the preseason finale tonight for the Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.